And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD Devotional Diamond of the Day.
Love.
It's not what they say. Wow. Also, we're going to look at It's Your Car. Well, congratulations. The professor of retirement, our own Marty Schneider, he joins us live in today's Facebook post, The Greatest Unspoken Truth of All.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Not even close. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. Late last week, we got the sad news that Senator John McCain has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, a malignant brain tumor. I've been in this business a long time. It's hard to remember a story about the U.S. Senate without John McCain being a part of it. Since 1987, he has always been there and has always been a part of the debate. All of those who get the fact that American politics is a team sport have been frustrated with John McCain at one time or another, disappointed with him occasionally. But there's no doubt that Senator McCain is a great American, a man of conviction, a patriot. He's been a congressman, a senator, and the GOP nominee for president. Before all that, though, Lieutenant Commander McCain served our nation in Vietnam as a Navy fighter pilot. He was shot down in October of 67, only to suffer then 5.5 years in captivity and never give in. John McCain is a fighter. Won't you join me in hoping and praying that John McCain can fight back this round with cancer and continue his service to the nation? I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. As long as I can keep the numbers correct, we're doing okay. Remember Mark Rubio was giving that speech, the political speech, and he stopped and he drank some water. And then they were all like, oh. Have you ever watched a preacher preach? I mean, especially the ones that get rolling and long-winded. They don't need a glass of water. They need a gallon of water. It's like, what is wrong with stopping and speaking? There's this notion that to be a professional speaker, there can't be a pause. Apparently, those people don't know about the six purposes of a pause. There's one of them right there. You see, people are like, what? This is incredible. I've decided after watching television today, we are now only binging on comedy shows, and we use the fast forward button anytime they go into something bizarre. Just fast forward, just not even going to look. And right now it's working out pretty good. We've watched a couple of good shows. However, I am hugely disappointed that the next Star Trek is going to be less friendly to the process of thinking about God. I'm not happy about that. Probably won't be involved with that. It's just really sad. You watch Star Trek, the original ones, but they're fun. Just kind of weird. All right, let's get into, just venting. I'm entitled to vent. My children, my grandchild's not with me anymore. He's in another state. I don't like it. All right, let's get into the first DDD. Don't forget, if you want to reach us, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. The title, Love is Not What They Say.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, that's really great if people knew where that's Maxwell Smart, right? Missed it by that much. Love it. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 13 says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Okay. In our society, the idea of love has been robbed of its true meaning. Much like gay and like marriage and like rainbow, which doesn't speak of the mercy of God. The rainbow is specifically the sign that says the earth will never flood again. So if you're a climate changer, you better work it out, because you can't be a Bible believer too. Bottom line, the love that God defines is not the same love that the media tries to portray as love. And why is that important? Because if you are operating in a non-divine concept of love, you're operating in a lie. And who is the father of lies? What people will say is, Jesus is all about love. Somebody just came out on one of the ridiculous cable shows and said, Jesus cares more about climate change than abortions. Well, I don't know how the person derives that information. I'm pretty sure if Jesus went up and bopped her on the head, she wouldn't know it's Jesus, because she's a clueless as to what Jesus has to say. And here is the first, what is the first message of Jesus? Do you remember the first message? So what is the first message? There's always a starting point and an ending point. The first message of Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. If you can't deal with the first message, why would I pay attention to you on the second, third, fourth, and fifth? Here's the first message of Jesus Christ. Repent. Change your ways. The woman who was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Jesus is not pro-sin. Jesus does not just accept sin and doesn't pay attention. It doesn't matter. Oh, no, it matters. That sin, our sin, cost him his life. He laid it down willfully, but there was a price to pay. And this concept that love is this, somehow it's warm and fuzzies, and it's sandals and flowers, and it's peace sign and tie-dye shirts and people smoking grass on the side. That has got nothing to do with God at all. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Well, we know the summary is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But didn't Jesus have a lot of things to say? And aren't we supposed to keep them all? Well, yeah, of course. Love is not saying yes to sin. Love is saying there's a sacrifice for that sin. That sacrifice will apply, given by the grace of God, received by faith, as long as you repent. And there's just no option. And the thing that's so bothersome is it's only by the truth do you really get to know what love is. If you're in Hollywood, love is when you drive down the road, turn your head, and see somebody in a car where you can't really see their face, and then they're the opposite sex, and they go off on the side road, and you just think, there goes the love of my life. I mean, how stupid is that? It's absurdity. You know what love is? Love is saying, I'm not going to take that job that will pay me that much more money because I want to be with my children and wife more. That's love. Love is saying, I'm not going to do something that's going to be detrimental to my family. I'm going to support my family the best I can. Love is recognizing that sometimes as you walk through the day, you need to be, and I need to be, considering other people. That's what love is. And how we can pray and help and support. In fact, love is just not focusing inward. It's not about you getting what you want. If it was all about you getting what you want, then everybody would get a ball. And then when everybody gets mad at each other, we can all take our balls and go home. Bing! Love is about focusing on others and caring about their universe and wanting to pray for them. And if people are stuck in sin, praying that God will unstick them. And if they're rebellious against God, praying that God will soften their hearts. Love is not about being quiet that your neighbor is going to hell. Love is about telling your neighbor they're going to hell if they reject Jesus Christ. And you think, well, how can you say that? Jesus said that. Well, that's your interpretation. No, I can read. Ready? See, we've done this before. See Jane walk. I can read. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. John chapter 14, verse 6. In context, the disciple had asked Jesus, how are you going to get to God? How are we going to get to God? Jesus goes, through me, through me, through me. That's the context. Love has to do with obeying the commands of Jesus Christ, being responsive to God. And then it does say this, because a lot of people miss this. You know, greater love no one has than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That means that the love is so deep, it goes past just your family. It's got to expand into other places. Love is not what they say. Love is what God says. You want to know the definition of love? I'm going to give it to you right now. 1 Corinthians 13. Go read verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then just insert your name. And you're going to find out what love is just by doing that. Because we know for sure love is patient, love is kind. It's not jealous, it does not brag, it is not arrogant, it's not unbecoming. It does not seek its own, it's not provoked, it doesn't take into account wrongs. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's Bible love. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, we'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my KPRZ clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
Brokenness can lead to wholeness. Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Elisa Morgan. In 2011, a magnitude 9 earthquake and a resulting tsunami took nearly 19,000 lives and destroyed 230,000 homes in the region northeast of Tokyo. In its aftermath, the Nozomi Project, named for the Japanese word for hope, was born to provide sustainable income, community, dignity, and hope in a God who provides. Nozomi women sift through the rubble of homes and furnishings to discover broken china shards that they can sand and insert into fittings to form jewelry. The jewelry is sold around the world, providing a livelihood for the women while sharing symbols of their faith in Christ. In New Testament times, it was customary to hide valuables in the unlikely vessels of simple clay pots. Paul describes how the treasure of the gospel is contained in the human frailty of followers of Christ, jars of clay. He suggests that the meager and even at times broken vessels of our lives actually can reveal God's power in contrast to our imperfections. When God inhabits the imperfect and broken pieces in our lives, the healing hope of His power is often more visible to others. Yes, His repair work in our hearts often leaves the scars of cracks, but perhaps those lines from our learning are the etchings in our beings that make His character more visible to others. Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. I love shows like this where you get to teach in the first hour. It's like a lot of teaching, you know, talking about the character of God. You get into the next part, and then we kind of break it up into all these different elements. We just spend some time really just discussing, understanding what love is. First hour, we talked about God not being a tightwad. I mean, those are important issues for you and I when we engage with the Lord. It is really important. And so I'm hoping that any of this will be a blessing for you in one way or another. Maybe it's just helping you in your bicep curl by forcing you to move your hand towards the radio and change it. I don't, whatever it is, good for me. You're going to hear something that we have mentioned once before in the last month and a half, but have not gone this deep into it. This DDD, which has a unique sound to it, this DDD is called It's Your Car. All right, here we go. Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to show you something in Scripture that's really important because there are too many people that will use Scripture in an inappropriate manner. There are those in the world who will use bits and pieces, and they'll use a part of a verse and a part of another verse. You know, who's doing that? Satan's doing that. And then there's other people that go so far in the Word, they're like, well, if it isn't in the Word, then it isn't, you know, that isn't true. Okay, but eating In-N-Out burgers is not in the Word of God. But that doesn't make it wrong in the sense of that it's like that's the wrong way to think. Or certain bodily functions are not in the Bible. That doesn't make those wrong. And you know what the Bible doesn't say? If you hold your breath for 10 minutes, you'll die. Guess what? Still true. Right? I mean, you can't, there's some things you can't change. So some people says the Bible is absolutely true. That is correct. It does not contain every element of truth. 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, that's true. Okay, got that. And in fact, the Bible records lies. So you get to find out that you understand that God is trying to teach us through His Word, not brainwash us. Now, why is that important? Well, number one, in the Gospel of John, where it talks about the marriage of Cana in Galilee, when John describes it, have you noticed that he says the jugs or the water holders were 20 or 30 gallons? That's what it says. That means that when John was communicating the story, the exactness of the size of the water gallons that Jesus was turning water into wine wasn't important enough for him to note. He's like, yeah, it's 20 or 30 gallons. And it's like, well, that's not exact. Right. That was John recounting the entire episode at the marriage of Cana in Galilee. See, the problem with people who try to use the word inappropriately or try to overuse it in the sense that they can't see anything because their face is so close up against the picture is that the Gospels are better understood as four encounters with Jesus Christ. And I can promise you that if you have four people go up to an elephant from the north, south, east, and west, you're going to have two that are pretty close and two that are going to sound like they're from Mars. That's just the way it is. Especially if you're not on the trunk side, you're probably like going, huh? Right? I mean, come on. In Scripture, you get to see a better understanding of this where the Bible gives you and I certain freedoms. Did you know that? Do you know the Bible is supposed to be a book that is a communication from God? And in that communication, you get to find out something. You get to make choices. You don't have to pray on whether you put the blue shirt on or the red shirt on, but if you're married, you should probably ask your wife, if you understand what I'm saying. Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 through 23. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, four quarts for each person. All the leaders of the community came and told Moses about it, and he said to them, "The Lord has commanded that tomorrow is a holy day of rest dedicated to him. Bake today what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Whatever is left should be put aside and kept for tomorrow." Moses is giving instructions on how to handle the food in regards to the Sabbath. Now, what does Mo say? He says, bake today what you want to bake. Boil tomorrow, but boil today what you want to boil. You know, you can bake what you want. You can boil what you want. You want manna burgers? Okay, great. You want manna souffle? Okay, how about banana bread? Right? Whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You get it. It doesn't matter. Just remember that tomorrow you can't go out and collect the manna. So either bake what you want or boil what you want. You know, manna burgers. You know, it's like whatever it is. Who cares? And it's like the Lord's not going up there going, no, you will actually eat everything I say in the order I say it. Well, here's the great thing about God. God says pick. Right? What's the big thing about wearing a red shirt or a blue shirt? Ready? Here it is. Ready? God's not wearing it. Okay? You understand? You are. Right? We're not robots. The scripture tells us not to be like the horse or the mule that's moved about every movement by bit and bridle. That we shouldn't be that way. If God wanted you to be a robot, he'd just program you that way. You'd just be a robot. That'd be the end of it. He's not trying to turn you into a robot. Guess what you get to pick tonight? Oh, I'm so excited for you. You get to pick dinner. Now, you might pick, you know, macaroni and cheese. You might pick chili. You might pick tacos, steak, hot dog. You might say salad for me, nothing but healthy. Fruits and salad. You might be vegan. You might not be vegan. You might think, what is vegan? It sounds like a vegetable. Doesn't matter. You pick. Hey, you know what color your car should be? What color do you want it to be? That's what color it should be. Dave, I really like white, but it shows the dirt, so I'm thinking I want to get a darker color. Is that okay with God? Why? Is God driving it? He's going to get in that? Well, then I'd say God would like a nicer car than the one you're picking. Come on. Now, it's not that you, the Lord can't lead you through these processes. And in fact, I will just say that the Lord actually, in a relationship that we developed, I knew there was this car I wanted to get, and it turned out that I was able to get that car through Chris George. And that developed a great relationship, and that was cool. But you know what Chris didn't do? Pick my car. You know what God didn't do? Pick my car. He didn't pick the color. I knew what color I wanted. I knew which car I wanted. I kind of knew before I went in because I don't like shopping. My point in telling you this is that there is a certain amount of freedom. Which Bible translation should you get? I just talked to somebody not that long ago. It's like, no, people can only use the King James. The King James was a translation that was done in 1611. You tell me that they never had the Word of God before 1611? What are you, nuts? Have you lost your mind? No, that's the only authorized version. They put the word authorized on it, not God. What does it matter with you? Every Bible is a translation because you don't have the original Greek and you don't have the original Hebrew. Pick a translation that you like. Have a good time. Do you want your Bible cover to be brown, blue, black, red? I'm a little off on the neon ones. But if your pastor doesn't mind, okie dokie. Unless it's like flashing and doing lightning and stuff like that, that's probably not good. You know what? You get to choose. You're a big boy or a big girl. You make the choice. Just choose wisely and don't be over extravagant. But if you got something you really like, maybe you like a double burger from In-N-Out. I do. Right? Unfortunately, I can eat more than one. All right, folks. We're going to take a short break and then come back with our special guest. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Kids are expensive, but you might be spending money on some things that your children really don't need. This is truth itself. Young parents might not realize that many expenses are optional, provided that you're willing to be the big bad parent that denies certain creature comforts. Here are a few purchases that might require a second look from R.J. Wilson. First, trendy toys. A good rule of thumb, if your children want something, wait a month. Those trendy toys won't be as irresistible when all of the other kids have moved on to a new fad. Next, play sets. Play sets are classic children's gifts, but they're also a ridiculous purchase in many households. If they're indoors, you have to clean around them. If they're outdoors, they can actually lower your property value. Third, computers. Consider starting out with a cheaper machine, at least until your teen has established good internet habits. Musical instruments. Before you blow a fortune on a trumpet, make sure that you're getting something that your kid actually wants and that he or she will stick with it. Next, expensive clothes. Young kids don't care whether their shirts are name brand or not. Up until 7th or 8th grade, kids will love whatever you can provide for them. And finally, smartphones. Sure, every kid on your block has a smartphone, but your job as a parent is not to make your child like every other child. It's to do what's best for him or her. That might mean refusing a request for a new cell phone, at least until your child is responsible enough to carry one. The same is true for tablets and other mobile devices. A new study showed two things Americans are most stressed about. One, healthcare expenses. And two, saving for retirement. One phone call right now can take care of both of these. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 to your retirement every month. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
If I were a rich man, I have a dividend. All day long I dividend. If I were a wealthy man.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. From the dawn of time, wisdom has come forth from a select few. I know he likes this intro. Right now, in our time, during our show, we have the privilege to have such a one with wondrous insights. and sage advice with knowledge that will make you brighter. Ladies and gents, it's Marty Schneider.
That never gets old, David. Thank you, brother.
You're more than welcome. Please don't forget, folks, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. Also, his website, theretirementprofessor.com. If you want to know what's going on in the world of finances and talk to somebody who's not trying to just make a buck, Marty is the man. How you doing, Marty?
Hey, David, I'm doing great. Doing great. Trying to figure out why, the Dow Jones average again closed at another. It seems like I'm a broken record. Every time we talk on Tuesdays, it's another record high, up another 72 points. And, David, that Dow Jones average is 21,963. It's just like 36 or 7 points away from 22,000 on the Dow. And I just reflecting, I can remember when, gosh, are we ever going to break 10,000 and 12,000? And, here we are. You got this Dow Jones average up at almost 22,000. It's pretty surprising numbers, right?
Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. And it doesn't seem like the same psychological barriers that withheld 10,000, and now that it's past 20,000, it seems like the barriers are on those 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and no longer at anything that just exceeds it. 10,000 to 21, Marty, at 21.
Yeah.
And just shy of 22.
Yes.
You just can't even think. I mean, why? First of all, I can understand why Tuesday they always do better because you're on the show. I think that's
part of it, yes.
I think they're all aware. Oh, Marty's on Dave. Okay, all right, everybody, bump it up.
I think there's so many dynamics in play. One of it, we're in earnings seasons right now, and a lot of the publicly traded stocks are reporting their, numbers and earnings, and it's been a pretty good earnings season. To a large degree, many of the companies exceeded expectations on their top line. Their gross revenues were up. So that certainly helps. And, David, part of it is also that with interest rates where they have been at such low levels for, a decade now, it wasn't like if you were looking for some yield, if you're retired and you say, gosh, I got to get some return on my money and I can't keep it at the bank because the bank's paying, a half of 1% interest, and bond yields weren't a whole lot better. So all of a sudden, stocks that were paying dividends, dividend-paying stocks, where the dividends are 3, 4, maybe 5%, become very appealing in a market where the fixed interest kinds of investments are so low. So that has, brought a lot of money into the equity or the stock market side as well over the last decade. So, a variety of these factors are in play when you're trying to discern what's going on here with this market.
It does seem to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I have been wrong a lot on some of these evaluations, but it seems like whether or not you like the drama of the White House and the media, which personally I've just kind of had enough of the whole thing, whether you like it or not, that the economy doesn't really care as much as it used to. Is that true?
It certainly seems to be much more resistant to the kind of confusion that we've seen coming out of Washington. And I must say, it's a bit surprising because you look at something like, say, healthcare, where, nothing was able to get accomplished. That's a big deal. That's a big deal because that really affects people right down at their pocketbook level. That's Main Street, not Wall Street. And so that was a bit surprising how resistant the stock market has been to that kind of news. I do think, David, that ultimately you've got a lot of investors that continue to bank on the fact that this is an administration that will get tax reform done. Now, you can question that and wonder if they can get anything done, but there does seem to be, some Democratic agreement on this issue that, they can simplify the system and make some improvements. So I think there's a shot at getting that done before year end, and I do think that investors and the market in general are banking on that to happen.
What if they don't get anything done? Isn't the economy still doing better? Or let me rephrase that. Aren't people seemingly more optimistic anyway?
Yes, I do think so, and I think part of that reason is the unemployment rate is back at more normal levels. We've recovered from the 2008 mess. Employment is up, and inflation is low. So people haven't gotten eaten up by, you know, cost of living increases over the last decade, where inflation's been very, very moderate. And so those factors have really, really helped. You know, the big strain, David, comes when you talk about things like retirement planning and the Social Security system and you know, Medicare and the big government entitlement programs that are all problematic in that they're underfunded. And at some point over the next 15, 17 years, you know, something has to be done about those systems or they're going to be in bigger trouble. So it's almost like, you know, we continue to kind of kick that down the street and you know, not worry about that today. But at some point, we have to deal with that. And I'll tell you what continues to concern me so much are the underfunded pension plans across this country. Billions and billions of dollars of underfunded, you know, pension plans where people are depending on this check coming in when they retire. And many, many companies are just woefully underfunded. And so that whole retirement benefit, Social Security, pension plan area is to me the greatest risk to the economy as I look downstream, you know, 5, 7, 10 years.
If you're in California and you're on a pension and you already know that if that pension goes underfunded, that it's not, if there's not enough funds for it, that the California government is going to seek to increase taxes on the wealthy. Is there enough amongst the wealthy to cover the pension deficits?
Good question. Don't really know the specific answer to that, but I do think in conjunction with raising taxes, they would also probably have to change the pension plan benefits for, you know, younger, newer hires so that they couldn't expect to receive the same kind of pension benefits that were offered, you know, a generation ago or a decade ago. Because, you know, David, when they create these pension plans, they always assume some rate of return. You know, the pension plan's going to earn X percent. Well, many of these plans 10, 15 years ago were assuming, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9% a year kind of returns. And that just has not materialized. And so if you're projecting that over billions of dollars and you're only getting, you know, 3 or 4% return instead of your projected 8, it's dramatic impact. So, and they can also cut benefits on pensioners and say, gosh, if you were getting, you know, $2,000 a month, your check's going to have to go down to $1,700 a month or we're all going to go bankrupt. So all of those possibilities are in play, but, you know, something is going to give there. Either taxes go up, pension benefits change. There is a government bailout agency called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp, but they're bankrupt as well. So,
my goodness,
that's a problem too. So that whole area is to me a tremendous risk. And David, it always points me back to why it's so very important for people to really begin to take personal responsibility for these things and not be fully dependent on, you know, government and pensions and, you know, that provision which is coming from outside. We've got to take responsibility and do what we can to provide for ourselves in that regard.
Does that make your planning harder? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you would necessarily use a different strategy, but does it make it harder because you have to select maybe more carefully and you have to be more aware that there could be, you know, something that people get in that if there's any possibility of it not performing well, I mean, you have to be aware of that.
You really do, because so much of the, you know, the projections, if we're projecting out, you know, for a 45-year-old or, you know, a 20-year retirement between 45 and age 65, gosh, you know, so many variables, so many things can occur over that 20 years. And so you have to make some well-informed assumptions, but they're only best guess. You know, they're intelligent guesses, but they are still best guesses, like, you know, what's going to happen with Social Security. Well, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the conservative approach would be assume you get nothing and plan accordingly, which again means you're going to have to put more aside for yourself. And then if, you know, by the grace of God, Social Security is there in 15 or 17 years, then that's, you know, gravy to your retirement plan. But if you've assumed it's going to be there and it's not what you expected, then it, you know, again, it creates those kind of problems. So it's looking at the numbers and seeing what you can do. And David, we always come back to this, and taking care of making yourself invulnerable wherever you can by not getting in over your head, by not assuming a lot of debt service, by paying those kinds of things off so that you minimize the cash flow needs at the point of retirement while you're not servicing, you know, a lot of debt service. So those are the things that can be done. And, you know, it just takes a little time, a little attention, a little planning, and a little hand-holding in most cases.
All right, I got to ask you a question that's far off the realms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Take a deep breath, Murray. Take a deep breath. Okay. All right. And because we only got about a minute, I just want to make sure I ask you this question because you might not have any answer at all, and that answer is okay. Okay. I'm trying to give you permission ahead of time. Have you ever heard of this cryptocurrency, the Bitcoin scenario that's going on?
I have, yes. I have heard of the Bitcoin scenario and have, you know, had chats with clients about it and done a little online, you know, Googling and trying to figure out, you know, what it really is and what it's really worth. Yeah, so I'm familiar with that, yes.
Is it nutsy cuckoo or is it worth an examination? That's not investing in it, it's just examine.
I think it is worth an examination. You know, I'm not sure it certainly raises my nutsy cuckoo radar system. I'm not prepared to decide that it is nutsy cuckoo at this point. Worth examining and carefully so and cautiously so, I think.
Yeah, excellent. I just wanted to ask you. I knew you would know just something a little bit about it. So we'll talk about that sometime else. I just think it's fascinating. Great. Job again, because you're just fantastic at radio. It's theretirementprofessor.com, theretirementprofessor.com, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you, David. God bless you, brother. Talk next week.
You got it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
If I were a bitty, bitty rich, I'd diddle
da. Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help. From Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business. San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins reminded listeners that their opposition to the transgender policy made a difference.
Only 23% of Americans agree with this, that this is good for the military. 23%. And so the overwhelming majority are opposed to this idea. And that's all voters. Now, when you break it down to just Republican voters that supported this president, I mean, it's close to 80%. So this is you are not alone on this, and that's why they need to hear from you. But because people are quiet and people don't want to talk about especially this kind of stuff because it's weird, they don't want to talk about it. Well, if they don't hear pushback, they'll just kind of go with the flow. And that's what happened on this. But after the vote and you began to make the phone calls, you got their attention. You really did.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
For years, society's watchword has been, if it feels good, do it. Consumers spend lots of money in pursuit of pleasure, whether it's a product, an experience, or a position in life. Not everyone feels that way, of course. The 19th century philosopher and naturalist Henry David Thoreau came close to the truth when he said, "That man is richest whose pleasures are the cheapest." But the psalmist David was even more accurate when he wrote about the pleasure with the best cost-benefit ratio known to man. He wrote in Psalm 16, "At God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. God's pleasures are available to all who will embrace them." This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's pleasures on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'll tell you why that song's being played, because we told you the up-and-coming Facebook post, "The Greatest Unspoken Truth of All." Tugboat Todd made a very good point. If it's the greatest unspoken truth of all, maybe it shouldn't be spoken. So that's where you went with Sounds of Silence. There you go. There you go. Very witty. He's been on top of his game today, I'm telling you. All right, don't forget, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is the email. The David Spoon Experience is the Facebook. His appointment, churchdisappointment.com or hisappointment.com, because the book is Church Disappointment, His Appointment. That is the book if you're looking to get over the hump of having a bad church experience. Hopefully, that is something that can help. All right. Many blessings to each and every one of you. Is that a nice way to say it? Many blessings to each and every one of you. May your blessings be multiplied. Or something like that. I just remember when Johnny Carson do something like, you know, may your armpits be invaded by 1,000 camels. I was thinking that doesn't seem very nice. All right, here we go. The greatest unspoken truth of all. I've been wanting to say that for 5 years. Here it is. Ready? You ready for it? Ready for it? Ready for it? God's timing is perfect always. God's timing is perfect always. You have a watch? Do you have a phone that has a clock on it? Is that synced up to the quote-unquote atomic clock? Does that keep accurate time? Yeah? No. That's accurate human time. God's timing is not human timing. God's timing is not linear timing. God, what does that mean? It means it doesn't start, stop, it doesn't have a beginning and end point. God is an interlinear being since he has no end point. He always was, always is, and always will be, and so is his watch. That's all you got to do. Wait, what? You know, you got a watch, and it tells you what time to get up, to bed, you got a clock, and you got a phone, you got a television set, you got all this stuff, and it's up, down, okay, time for gymnastics, time to eat, time for this, time to go sit on the freeway for 3 hours, time. God's timing is perfect always, because God's watch is perfect always, and it's not human time. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. Here's what you got to know. That was what God prophesied, told the people would happen 430 years prior. Now I want you to get this. 430 years prior, God said, on this time, at this time, the entire nation will arrive at this place. Oh, by the way, this isn't happening for 430 years. How can you, four centuries later, have the exact knowledge of the exact moment that an entire nation ends up somewhere? How do you have that? Well, if you're God, you have that really cool watch. It works a lot better. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 through 41. Now, the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. You got to get this. God's timing is so perfect that he can take millions of people and put them in the exact space 430 years after he tells them 430 years from this day, you're going to be here as a nation. By the way, when God said that, there was no nation. So you had to have a birth of a nation. You had to have all the political and governmental structures. You had to have some kind of functionality. Just to think of the logistics alone is so far beyond the human thought. Here's the key. God is never late, not even once. Wow. Don't kid yourself. That's something that we don't recognize enough. He has never been late. I am telling you, if you could just imagine the logistics of moving an entire nation 430 years and just understand how God said it specifically, it's going to happen exactly this way. When God speaks of something, God's not partially right.
Oh, he's partially right.
No. In God's economy, if it's a prophet of God, if they're not 100% right every time, that the children of Israel were told to kill the prophet. Because God will only be right. He will never be wrong. God is right on schedule. God is never late, not even once. God's timing is perfect always. His watch is perfect. Yours is not. You might say, Dave, I have a Rolex. Doesn't work. Doesn't cross 400 years and tell you what's going to happen. God's watch does. That's an unspoken truth that we need to say to one another. His timing is perfect always. Okay, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.